Welcome to the Bibling and Babbling podcast. My name is Luke Simmons, and I'm joined by Connor Hyde. We are super excited to start this podcast and talk about the Bible, babble on about random things, talk about our lives, and talk about Jesus. Connor Hyde, how are you?
Luke Simmons, I'm doing good, dude. It's kind of sweet to get to jump on something like this with you. I feel like, I don't know, you brought this idea up in the summertime of 2024 that you wanted to start a podcast. And I'm glad that you asked me and brought me into the early thoughts of it. And it's kind of fun to, I don't know, see where this thing goes. It's nothing I've ever tried before, nothing you've ever tried before, but we're gonna give it a shot, and at the very worst, we just get to have some sweet conversations. So.
So true, so true. Yeah, I have a lot of time at work where I listen to a lot of podcasts because I wear earmuffs where I get to listen to stuff because I work at a mill. A little bit about me. I work at a lumber mill cutting beams, cutting logs and things like that for a timber frame company. So just working with my hands lots outside, which I love, winter and summer. It's awesome. And it's actually pretty sweet to be able to just listen to podcasts, listen to some hockey podcasts, listen to some Tim Keller sermons, different things like that. So I was just walking around and was like, I wonder if Connor has ever thought about doing a podcast. I should ask him. And here we are now.
Here we are.
So Connor, there's a little bit of kind of what I do. What do you do in your day to day?
Yeah, so my day-to-day job, the 9 to 5 that's never really a 9 to 5 is at Miller College of the Bible out in Sunnybrae, British Columbia, which is where both you and I live. And basically, I work in the worship arts and technology departments at the school there, and I honestly just get to hang out with college students all day long. And that looks like doing music teams with them, and traveling to different churches with them on the worship arts side. And then sometimes that looks like crawling up into ceilings and running new HDMI cables, which is what today was. And that's kind of the tech side of things. And so, it's a pretty sweet job, honestly, and a job that I feel like I have less time to maybe like listen to lots of podcasts. And so I'm glad that you asked me to be part of one because I feel like that's getting like my podcast wheels like spinning a little bit. And already looking for more opportunities to be like, okay, like how do other people actually do this? And how can we hone in on this a little bit better even? So yeah, that's kind of what my world looks like. And I don't know, it's really like not where I expected to be at this point, which I'm sure I think we'll talk about later as we tell some of our own stories, but somewhere I'm very thankful that the Lord has brought me to. And I feel like I can't imagine a lot of jobs at this point in my life that would be better. So.
So good. So good. Yeah. So, as Connor and I have talked about this and definitely like dreamed about it, honestly, for me, where it's just like this has probably been almost 6 months now of talking about it and just kind of getting excited about the idea of
That's how I knew you were serious about this. Is when it's like when it didn't die off after a
it.
couple months. Because I feel like you're always an ideas guy. And it's like, okay, this one might stick, it might not. Like you like the big dreams. And then by like a month two or three, when you're like still talking and still like kind of poking me about it, I was like, oh, he's serious. Like I'm actually gonna have to put some serious thought into if I wanna do this.
Yeah.
Cause I knew that you were full sending it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I am a dreamer. I love the big ideas, shooting for the stars, even though I'm not always the one to put it into action. But really, as we were talking about it, it was a lot of like, man, we love Jesus. We love our church. We both help out at our junior youth group at our church, and that is a super fun time. For myself, not working in ministry at the moment, there's always like a part of me that wants to find new ways and creative ways to kind of try and connect with people and be able to share the gospel more with people. And so, in thinking about this, I was just like, man, it'd be so fun to just create a medium where people can, if they have questions they can ask us. And you know, we're two guys in our 20s, trying to figure out life just like everyone else, trying to figure out, you know, the best ways that we can be obedient to God and follow him, and what that looks like day to day. So maybe from there we'll get into our stories and kind of, I don't know if you want to start and just talk about, you know, where you've come from and how the Lord has worked in your life and brought you to this point.
Nice. Are we talking like really big scope here? So I narrow down on the last like few years or?
Give just like a brief, you know, flyover of, you know, Connor's life and then
Sweet.
kind of the sweet ways that the Lord has led you and guided you over the last couple of years, I guess.
Yeah, nice. Okay, sounds good. Yeah, I guess the first piece is that at my core, I'm an Alberta boy. I grew up
It's
just
too bad.
I'm in BC now, so you know, came around in some ways, or I don't know, have needs to still go back potentially. Guess we'll find out which one. But no, yeah, Alberta boy, born and raised. I grew up in like Red Deer, Alberta, is where I was born, and then kind of when I was like 8 years old, our family moved out to Strathmore, Alberta, for my dad's work. And then that's kind of where most of my life was spent up until moving out to BC for school. And so, yeah, a Christian family that I was blessed to be born into, a mom and dad who both just loved the Lord. And from an early age, I just got to have like a front row seat to what it actually looked like to be just led by the Holy Spirit and their decisions. And I feel like as I look back on just the decisions that I've had to make in my life and just how much I've needed to rely on the Spirit's help to kind of decide like what path I'm going down, I can really see that it was because I got to witness like what that actually looked like through my parents making those d decisions. I think like a story that kind of illustrates that is like that my dad was gonna move us all up to Grand Prairie after taking a job in Calgary, and we'd been there for a year. And he kind of decided that he wanted to keep moving up in the company he was working for. And so a move to Grand Prairie was the next step. And then following that was probably going to be a move elsewhere a year later. And he was all set for this. Like him and my mom had actually flown to Grand Prairie, had put an offer in on a house up there. And so it was pretty like locked in that we were moving. But he was going in to his work in Calgary the one morning to sign the papers, and he like will just tell the story that it was so clear that the Holy Spirit just told him like that this was not the time to move his family. And so going in and fully planning to you know, sign those papers and take that next job promotion, he just kind of like basically stopped on the road, like turned around and came back to us essentially.
Wow.
And so called my mom on the way back, and he's just like, I'm not doing it. And all of us kids were so sad to be leaving Strathmore because we had kind of found a really good church there after like I feel like a season in our family's life of wrestling through like where to actually land as far as the church was. But Strathmore Alliance Church is where we landed, and that was just such a good spot to grow up in. And basically, yeah, we were ended up just being so happy that it's like, oh, we actually get to stay. Because at that point, you know, the news was broken to us that we were leaving. But ended up, yeah, landing in Strathmore, and that's still where my parents are now. I feel like for myself, I have th three siblings, and that's kind of where all of our lives have launched from. And yeah, that place, I think, just in itself is a place that God has really used in my life. I go back there. I was just back for Christmas, and yeah, it's just somewhere I love to be. And so, a great church that I got to grow up in, an amazing youth pastor through my growing up years, Byron Allen. Maybe he'll listen to this one day, who knows? And yeah, really just like awesome, strong Christian mentors around me, strong examples of what it looked like to have faith in Christ, strong like gospel presentation in my life, like all through growing up. But there was kind of the gist of my story is really that there was a piece of the gospel that for a long time didn't click, and that was like just the aspect of grace. And so I had heard the gospel and I knew it, but just something about like the fact that it's like God's grace in my life just didn't quite fall into place. until a few years later. And so I learned, I feel like at a very young age, like how to please people and just like how to make people like me, and just kind of knew if people did or didn't like me.
The radar.
You know, 100%. And I it was just like if that was going off, I knew how to change like my attitude or like the decisions I was making to kind of flip that around. So it's like, yeah, if that radar is going off, that's like, oh, these people aren't sure of me, or like we're not getting along or something like that. Like I kind of knew what to do to change that.
Oh, you'd influence them to then start
Yeah, maybe that's it. We're manipulate. I don't know. That's probably another conversation of
that.
what that was. Yeah, and so just like big people pleaser. And the problem with that is that I'd really associated my relationship with God to be the same way, where it's like, okay, like if mom and dad don't like that I do this thing, then it's like, okay, I'm not gonna do it because that makes them mad. And if I do the thing they want me to do, that's gonna make them happy. And that's really just how I treat my relationship with God. It's like I understood a lot of, the things from the Bible. I understood like the commandments that the Lord has for us. And so I was just like, okay, if I don't do the thing that God wants, he's angry with me. If I do the thing that God wants, he's happy with me. And so and really just like basically if I live a good life, God's happy with me. And I feel like a lot of my upbringing was like quite easy as far as just like circumstances go and stuff. And so really in all parts I lived a pretty good life. And good experiences happened and I didn't necessarily deal with a lot of hardships. And so it was I that kind of just led me further on in that thinking that it's like, oh, okay, like I'm living a good life and so good things are gonna happen, and that's kind of that. And then high school is when that sort of switched for me. Like our town of Strathmore just has like one like public high school. And so through my high school years, just like knowing lots of friends and lots of connections to our church through that school and just all sorts of things. But something that sort of happened in our town was like a lot of our high school students like passed away in like their high school years. And so like I had friends who like passed away from like car accidents and like drug overdoses and suicides and just all of these different pieces. Just these really heavy things where it was like not necessarily happening directly to me, and even some of these people I knew better than others, but I was for sure watching my friends around me just like go through some terrible times. And as a result, like I felt a lot of that too. And so there was just this like time in high school where I'm just like, whoa, like God, I don't think I ever really doubted that God was real, but I think I doubted that God was good. Because, everything in my life had kind of been pointing to the fact that it's just like, no, like I know God. Like I know that there's something greater that exists in this like outside of this world. But I was just like, man, like is God actually good? Because good things are not happening to me. Good things are not happening to my friends. And so really just that question of just like how like why do bad things happen to good people? Like I feel like that's the classic way of wording that, and that's really the thing that I was wrestling with. And so in all of that, it was, yeah, like I said, that grace piece of the gospel that I was missing, that it's just like, oh man, even though the world is broken, even though like bad things happen, the grace of God is that he sent his son Jesus for us. And that's not about me being a good person. That's not about me just doing all the right things for God. But that is really about like everything that Christ has done. And that is where joy is found. That is where hope is found. Even if terrible things continue to happen here on this earth, it's like it's the hope of eternity that, the relationship with Christ actually gives us. That it's like, okay, this world is not everything that there is. And we have something so much greater to look forward to. So that's the piece I was missing. Sorry, this is like I'm realizing that I'm taking the long route of this, but I think you told me that I
It's
could.
so good.
So
It's so good.
yeah, so my dream post high school, I was gonna become a paramedic. I think like helping people has always been like a high value of mine, and so being a paramedic was kind of like the best way in my mind. I kind of thought I could do that. I've loved like biology and emergency medicine, and got to like work as a lifeguard, which is really You don't do a lot of first aid ever, but it kind of gave me that feeling like I
No
did.
drowning kids ever.
One kid that I pulled out of the hot tub once,
Whoa.
and but that was really it.
Don't leave the kids in the hot tub too
Yeah,
long.
well, don't leave your like toddler on the
Oh
depth of the
my.
hot tub because they will probably fall in. And
Yikes.
so, little random tidbit of life advice for our listeners out there.
Everyone's a toddler.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. But yeah, basically, paramedic was the dream. Went and did the first year of schooling for it. And again, there was just faced with like the brokenness of the world. I went to school in Calgary for my like EMR, my emergency medical responder. And my instructor was like awesome, like so knowledgeable, but also so like jaded by the job that he had spent so many years in. And you know, I'm like 18, 19 at that point, and I'm kind of like looking at him and like hearing how he tells stories, and even just like his sense of humor was like just so twisted from all that he's seen in his line of work, and probably a way that helps him cope with that. And I was just like, okay, like I don't think I'm ready for this. Like maybe this is a later thing. Like the actual like technicalities of it and the actual like study of everything, like I loved. And I loved even just like the practical pieces we got to do in the classroom. But I was like, to actually see this job out to the field, I'm just not ready for. And so that was kind of a decision that I made pretty hard and fast. I'd already gone and done like my provincial testing and everything for it, but I was just like, no, that's it. I'm done. And that kind of left me in like just this little bit of a, what is my life? What am I actually gonna do? I thought I had my, you know, 5-year plan that they make you form out of high school, and I was like, uh-oh.
Great way to
Yeah,
do
1 year out and
it.
it's fallen to pieces already.
Figure out your 5-year plan as a 17-year-old. I promise you, in 5 years, it'll be the same
Oh
thing.
my, 100%.
Not at all.
Yeah, and so literally first year that plan's gone. I'm like, okay, what now? And I feel like the advice I got from a lot of people at that time was like, you probably just need to travel. And I don't know if it's still as much of a thing now, but for sure, like when we were kind of coming out of high school, like I feel like that's just what so many people did. It's just like take a year, just go explore, spend a bunch of money, see a bunch of places. And like you have time to do schooling and you have time to do education.
Right.
You have time to get into the workforce later on, basically. And so that was like a really big thing that a lot of my friends were doing. And I liked the idea of traveling. I always have. But I feel like that piece of like helping people, having purpose to what I was doing was still important to me. And so I was kind of like, I don't know what to do now, but maybe travel, but could I do something with more purpose? And so yeah, it was my youth pastor from Strathmore, who suggested, well, like, why don't you think about like a short-term mission or something like that? And again, through this time, relationship with the Lord, still like trying to figure a lot of stuff out, still not understanding grace, still all of this stuff. But I was just like, okay, like a missions trip could be good. And I was working like in our youth ministry at that time, getting to just like hang out with a lot of our junior high students. And so I was like, okay, like I do enjoy youth work in the church. I'd like to travel. And in my mind, I was just like, okay, like Australia would be pretty cool. Like I was kind of like, yeah, I don't know, I don't know anything about Australia, but it seemed like what a lot of my friends were kind of doing, taking trips out there. Or, yeah, I think I just ended up Googling, like, youth ministry missions Australia. And like the very first result was a YWAM, a youth with a mission, base in Australia, Townsville, Australia. And they offered a like youth adventures discipleship training school, DTS. And I like clicked on it, and I think they had a nice enough website and it looked legit enough. And I had never heard anything else about YWAM or Townsville, Australia, but everything was kind of like, yep, this seems sweet. And so like I applied, and it's
That's
just like there on the spot. And then like that night at supper, I remember like doing it and kind of being like, oh, what have I done? And then being like, Okay, I think I'm gonna like tell my parents because there are lots of conversations about like what I was gonna do sort of now that I wasn't going after being a paramedic. And so I like went up to SUP for that night and I was just like, hey, like I applied for this thing in Australia that's like in October. It's probably like April at this point. And like I think I'm gonna go there for 6 months. And I feel like what I said earlier about like my parents, like I just feel like being very guided by the Holy Spirit in their lives. I feel like I'm like was watching kind of for their reaction of just like, hey, how are they gonna take this? And they were both like so calm, like so unfazed by it. And I think like immediately it was just such a sense of peace for me that it was just like, oh, like I think this is actually the right choice. And so I'll try and condense some things here. Went to YWAM, had an amazing mentor there, who his name was Ryan, and he basically like kind of caught in me telling my life story and me talking about this like relationship with God that I had. He was able to kind of narrow down on the fact that it's like, hey, grace is something I don't think you understand. And I was just like, I look back on it now and I'm like so thankful that like the Spirit just gave him the ability to see that, and just kind of teach me the truth about that. And really then ultimately it's the Lord's work in my life that grace became just so evident. And really that piece of just like it is not what I can do, it's what Christ has done for me, just finally clicked. And I mean that the people pleasing side is something that's a long journey, I think, of changing. But I was able to start to be able to see how I did it and like how I did it in my relationship with God. And so, I mean, by no means have I figured it all out and like rid myself entirely of it, but now I'm thankful like it's something I can catch more in my life. And so I went from there to coming back to Strathmore. I ended up working in my church for 2 years in youth and worship ministries. Youth ministries, I feel like, was modeled so well throughout my life for me that I was like so excited to take that responsibility on. Worship ministry was solely because our church had nobody to really lead it, and they knew I could do administrative things well, and so it was basically like, hey, and I played the piano, and so it was like those two things. It's like you're able to play on worship teams and you can schedule them, and so I was also given like that responsibility.
Connor keeps the most detailed calendar. He's a busy guy, so fair enough, but he keeps the most detailed calendar I've ever seen. I have no calendar.
I know it's all in your brain. We've talked about this. Luke just closes his eyes and he can see his calendar laid out before him.
That's true.
And if I close my eyes, I fall asleep most of the way. So I wouldn't really be able to schedule out too much. But yeah, no, basically, I got to spend the 2 years at Strathmore Alliance. The youth side is. Yeah, it's really the piece that I feel like I got to grow and just like learn so much about and was so excited about. And this worship side just was like kind of the side gig for a lot of it. And it was just kind of like, oh, I love being a youth leader and all this stuff. Oh yeah, and then I do the worship stuff too. And so that was kind of yeah, how I explained my job to people, I guess. And again, just like so cool to see what like ministry actually looked like. And just get to be a part of a church that preached the gospel so faithfully. And so an amazing 2 years. But kind of in my second year of that internship, was kind of the conversation began with like our church elders that like, hey, like maybe this is something you want to do for more of your life. And maybe you should consider schooling. And so that kind of began the journey of starting at university. And so I went to Ambrose University in Calgary. And kind of through a lot of different pieces that we don't have to go into right now, it kind of just wasn't the fit. And I after a semester, I was just like, man, I don't think this is where I want to do all of my education, which honestly was too bad because it had worked out really well to take some classes and work alongside with that. And so me deciding that I wasn't going to continue there. Was kind of like me deciding that I probably was going to stop working at the church if I actually wanted to go pursue schooling. But again, Byron Allen, youth pastor, now ex-youth pastor, I guess, at that point in my life. He reached out and he was just like, "Hey, I'm in this master's course at Miller College of the Bible in Sunnybrae, BC, and I have to go for a week of classes in January." This is like 2020 now at this point. And he was basically like, "I think you should come with me because they're doing like a youth ministry mod that week. And so you could basically travel with me, stay, do your 1 week of classes. I'll do my 1 week of classes, and then we can come back together." And I was just like, "Hey, sweet, that sounds awesome." Pitched the idea to my church, who gave me the time off and kind of blessed me to go do that. And I think they kind of knew at that point that I was starting to think of other options. But again, they were like way less interested in like keeping me on for their own purposes. Like they were interested in just me getting to grow, and so, which I'm so thankful for. So they kind of blessed me to come out to Sunnybrae, British Columbia for a week. And that is where I got to experience just such good community and such solid theological teaching, and just amazing chapel times, and just all these pieces that I was like, "Man, this is what I'm looking for in like an educational experience." And so like the Wednesday of that week, I was like in the student lounge, like filling out my application for the next fall. And so I kind of came back and told my church that it's like, "Hey, this week was actually amazing. I do want to go to Bible school, and this is where I think I want to do it." And really, again, they just blessed me in that and let me kind of keep working to kind of finish off into the summer and stuff, and just let me keep a job really as I saved for school then. And yeah, really got to leave there on great terms, and they're such dear friends back there still. But then started the time at Miller. And so fall of 2020, in the midst of COVID, is when I got to start, and Miller got to continue to operate at that time, which was fantastic. And I spent 3 years there, and that's where you and I met Luke. Luke doesn't remember it, but I remember our first interaction on opening weekend. I was sitting in a hammock watching a bunch of people play spike ball, just waiting to get in on the next game. And Luke came and he just sat down right beside me in the hammock, and he's just like, "Hey, my name's Luke." And we just started talking, and we both shared like bits of our life stories kind of right there on the spot, and like literally like left. Like it was probably like 10 minutes. And I was just like, "Man, I think that guy and I, we're gonna be good friends." And look at us
Here
now,
we are.
telling our stories on the couches in my basement suite.
And who knows how many people will listen, but we're telling
We're telling it. Are
them.
there parts of this that are new for you? Like, I don't know.
We've talked about
Sure.
that before, and it
Probably
doesn't
heard some
surprise
parts.
me. Sunnybrae, I mean, I'll get into kind of my side of it a little
Totally.
more. I'll let you finish, but Sunnybrae is a comfortable place for me. So when new people are around, I feel pretty comfortable to just kind of go up and exist with them. So,
Yeah. You're like, that's the new guy over there sitting by himself in a hammock. Yeah, but I mean, that's really pretty much the story. Like, I came here in 2020, and I actually never ended up leaving. I finished 3 years of Miller and got my bachelor's degree, and then had the sweet opportunity to join the staff team. I guess like the crazy part of it all is like now I'm in worship ministry. Which, yeah, like
Like
is
the side hustle almost.
yeah, that was the side gig. That was the side hustle of my job at Strathmore. But I came here and like from my first year got to serve as like a worship leader, like for our chapel times at Miller, and ended up taking so many worship theology classes, because in my mind I think I came into school and it's like, "Oh yeah, I'll do my degree and then I'll move back into youth ministry somewhere." And then worship ministry ended up being the thing that, I just loved learning about. I spent so much time like reading books about it and in classes. Leah Campbell, who I work with now, was kind of she was my teacher and like our worship director through all of my years at school. We'll probably have her on the podcast at some point, I'm
We'll
sure.
have to.
And I just learned so much from her in those few years. And then yeah, after that, got the opportunity to join the worship arts department and kind of work under Leah. And so that's been the last 2 years of my life, and they've been amazing.
Wow, that's
And
so
yeah, like I said at the start, it's just like to work with college students. Like, obviously, I was older when I was a college student, had taken a few years to do some different things. But I feel like I, and like I'm older now, even, but
old man.
yeah, just brutal. But the thing is, like, I learned so much from just like showing up to work every day, just from like these 18-year-olds who are so excited to be here and to learn about Jesus and to make their faith their own. And it's like I get to teach now, and I get to like still like lead with our worship teams and just all this amazing stuff. But the reality is, like, man, like I learn from them every single day, and they teach me so much too. And so
Make you think about things you hadn't maybe thought about before, too.
100%. And they just like they'll ask you questions, and it's like, I mean, I'm definitely an expert on really nothing. And so they'll ask a question that really like has to like my only option is to go kind of like seek out the answer on my own, because there's not much that they ask that I'm like, oh, I already know that. Let me tell you about this. And so like I feel like so often they're just asking great questions that I'm like, Matt, that's so good, but I need to figure this out. And then that just leads to future conversations, and I've learned something and then get to relay it to them, which is just fun. So, and I'll ask them questions honestly too, because there's so many of them who know more than I do. And so it's just, yeah, pretty cool cycle. And I work with amazing people. I, yeah, have just an amazing church that I get to be part of too, like the church that we're a part of out here. There's so much about my life that I'm just like, man, like, thank you, Lord, for just bringing me to this place. And only He knows how long, like, that I'm here for, but kind of as long as I'm here, it's like, yeah, just thankful for everything that He's brought my way. So.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, it's so good. There's so much just, and Connor and I, we do talk about this all the time, where it's just like we are so fortunate to get to live the lives that we live now and do the things that we get to do. So it's sweet kind of hearing it. I mean, I've heard it before, but I always love hearing it again. Just all the reminders of God's kindness in our lives and His faithfulness to pursue us, no matter where we kind of might want to go ourselves and the different directions that we decide on our own. And then He just gently and kindly, sometimes less kindly, nudges us in the right direction. But it is so good. So I'll get into a little bit of
Yeah, tell us about you, Luke.
my story. So, like Connor, I was raised in a Christian home, going to church, with parents that just loved us. Mike, I have one older brother. Yeah, they loved us on so good, and cared for us so much, and really just did the best that they could, with everything they had. And my dad was a university student for the first like 10 or 11 years of my life. He has his PhD in English literature. So, him being a student and my mom working full time, they did their best to always, give us stuff and provide for us and all those things. And they did such a good job. And it's sweet to be able to look back and just see the care that they put into everything, even though, a lot of times it wasn't the easiest. I was born in Chilliwack, BC, and spent the first 4 years there while my dad was doing his what's the middle one? There's bachelor's, master's. So he was doing his master's.
He's probably an expert on a few things.
He's a really smart guy. It's incredible. He talks circles around me every time I see him. But when I was four, my dad was getting ready to start his doctorate, and so my parents decided that it'd be best if he did that in New Brunswick, at the University of New Brunswick, right in Fredericton there. So we moved. We drove across the country, to Fredericton, and spent 6 years there while my dad did his doctorate. And so those are kind of really the first memories that I have I grew up in an Anglican church. I was an altar boy for a number of years, and that was honestly, it was super fun. The church community there was so kind and loved on us so well, and took care of us really, really well. And so that was kind of the first like memories I have of church community and things like that. And it kind of was just like you go to church and that's what everyone did. And but I didn't really realize that it was like you're a Christian and you believe like something specific. I thought it was just kind of one of the habits of life.
What did you have to do as an altar boy?
At the start, like it's a lot more structured, maybe not structured is not the right word, but more
Like
like
liturgical kind.
liturgical. And like we would all, like there'd be five of us, I guess, that would walk in like the robes and walk around the sanctuary to a song. And then we'd like sit all like on the end, and the priest would be doing his thing. My memory's a little bit foggy in all of it because I was pretty young, but like there was a whole choir and everything. We'd sing and we'd do like the Apostles' Creed and the Nicene Creed, and we had real wine for communion, which as like an 8, 9 year old was like pretty wild.
Yeah, you're like, what's
Warms
the
your
grape
chest
juice?
right up, like. And I mean, that was all I knew. So once I went to grape juice as a Baptist, it was kind of mind blowing.
Yeah,
But
never looked back.
it was honestly, it was such a good experience, and the church family was so good. But it's just not what I was focused on or what I necessarily cared about. I've always loved sports and just been a super athletic kid. And just love to be outside. So that was always like the number one. Me and my best friend just would always dream about being hockey players, but neither of us could play hockey because our parents just couldn't afford it. Because who can afford to play hockey? It's so expensive. But yeah, so that was in New Brunswick. We were there for 6 years. And then once dad graduated, he was looking for teaching jobs, but things didn't really work out. And so we ended up moving back to BC to Kamloops, and he took a job with the Métis Commission for Children and Families, and started working doing that kind of thing, Métis politics and things like that. So like we're Métis, Red River Métis, and my dad's still working in Métis government and works with the Manitoba Métis Federation, and is doing some pretty cool work. Maybe we'll have to have him on the podcast one sometime, but
He's got his PhD.
knowledgeable guy. So
We gotta have him.
yeah, so that was, we moved to Kamloops, and I think like my, you know, we all have our kind of natural like sin tendencies, I'll say, and mine was very much just like self-focus. Like I just thought so much about everything I was doing in terms of like being worried about what people thought of me, being worried about like what I was going to do the next day, and was just kind of like, I mean, like every kid is selfish with my things and everything like that. Like I kind of thought the world revolved around me. At this point, like my brother and I got along great, and my parents were still just like working hard to provide for us and teach us as best they could and everything like that. And then after a year in Kamloops, we moved to Salmon Arm. And I wasn't super pumped about it just because I was like, I just don't feel like I really belong anywhere. Didn't have really much of a sense of identity. And so that Salmon Arm move is probably the hardest, and I probably was like the most frustrating to deal with at that point because I was just like pretty angry just with life for not really any explainable reason. I never felt like I belonged. I was pretty socially awkward, so making friends wasn't always the easiest, going through like middle school and stuff. But once I got into high school, like I still just look at it as like God's immense kindness, because I was, you know, kind of going down a path of wanting to party and kind of wanting to vandalize stuff and just not be a good person and just causing trouble and things like that. But I really see it as like the Lord just being like, you need someone who's gonna care for you pretty unconditionally. And so I'll give him a shout out. Dylan was put into my life. We were in band together. We both played tenor saxophone. Well, he was on alto and I was on tenor. And then we had gym class together as well. And so we were kind of always next to each other. We'd always partner up in gym class. And that's like pretty early on in grade nine.
You're probably like the only like band kids who are also doing well in gym. I feel
I thought about saying something. I was like, but Dylan and I, we
like.
were like the more athletic kids in our gym class because we did gym class with our band class. And so it was very natural for us to just like hang out
Sorry to all the band people out there.
and do stuff together. I mean, you're a music guy, but
Yeah, I was never in band.
that's true.
That's
That's
fine.
fair.
It's different.
It's true. It's different. It's different. Anyways,
I took piano lessons, right? Way cooler.
I have no response. But anyways, so Dylan very early on was just like, come to youth group, come to youth group. At this point, I was like playing football and really just getting into sports and kind of throwing, like that was where my identity was as an athlete, as a football player and a rugby player. And so I didn't have time. I was busy on the youth nights. And so it was just kind of like a no, like whatever. Wasn't really interested. I didn't have like really like a personal relationship with God. I would say like my relationship growing up with God was always like, God, I need this. Like that same kind of, I felt like the world revolved around me. So it was like, God, I need this right now. Or God, can you stop this from happening? Or, those kinds of things. And I always like acknowledged that he existed, but it was never like a Lord, here's my life and I surrender it to you kind of thing.
Right.
So that was kind of how it was through high school. And in grade 10, there was kind of like a, I would say like the Lord was just very kind to like make me kind of think about where I was headed in life, the things that I was spending my time doing and that kind of thing where it was like, oh, maybe I should kind of change a little bit, maybe not go to the parties as much and try not to kind of do some of the things that I was doing. And so then I was like, okay, Dylan, I'll start trying to come to youth group. So I'd like quickly go from football right to youth group. And yeah, the Lord was so kind to just kind of give us an awesome friend group, where Zach and Carson, and Dylan and I, we just started hanging out like all the time. We were always together, always doing stuff from grade 10 until, I mean, still today we hang out all the time. So that was like a huge blessing. And then after high school, like in high school, I had the idea that I wanted to be either, an athlete, but I knew that was kind of a hard goal to reach. So I wanted to be a physiotherapist. But none of those kind of things lined up because I'm not the best planner in the world. And so it was kind of just like Dylan and I were, my parents moved away, I guess. That's a important part is they moved to Winnipeg when I was in grade 12. So I lived with family friends, for grade 12, and then they were still gone once I graduated. And so Dylan and I got a place together. I started working at a tire shop. And he was working doing log home stuff. But I didn't really have bigger plans. I had worked at Sunnybrae for a number of summers at the Bible camp, which Miller is like partnered with. They share the property, or I guess Miller leases the property, but
Yeah, for legal reasons, we have to say it that way.
okay. Oh, man. Gotta give the shout out to Miller and the legal reasons, but people, as I'd worked at Sunnybrae and stuff, like Kyle Redeman, the program director there, was like, you should really go to Miller and study here and spend the time just kind of diving into who God is and what that means for life, because I really didn't have much of a relationship with him at all. And that first year, it just definitely was not gonna happen. And I honestly, I'm glad that it didn't, because it gave Dylan and I the opportunity to live together and just kind of figure some life stuff out, I think, and for myself to kind of realize some of my like selfishness and that kind of thing, which would be even more revealed once I did end up at Miller. So that year after, then Dylan and I, we were both decided we'd go to Miller. This is like our jobs are kind of getting laid off because of COVID and everything like that, and it's like, okay, let's do the Miller thing. And I'm really glad that we did, because Connor and I met, we had that hammock interaction. And at Miller, there's a the structures like you're in a dorm rooms, and you're paired with another dorm room to create a community life group, where you like get together on Monday nights to hang out and that kind of thing. And so Connor and I were in the same one with Zach and Carson as well, and a couple other guys.
Totally.
And so that was like the start of Connor's and my friendship, and it honestly, I'm so glad. And so then I did 3 years at Miller as well. We graduated together. We worked at camp every summer together, and after that we were roommates together. I didn't ha I never really had I still don't have a clear like direction in what I want to do. I'm sure you would probably say like the same thing, but in that sense, it was like graduating is like, well, I don't actually know what I'm gonna do. At that point, I was dating pretty seriously with my now wife, and so I knew that that was kind of like a priority in life, to kind of I wasn't gonna go anywhere or start anything kind of big somewhere else in terms of like schooling or anything like that. So I started working at a lumber mill. Connor and I lived together, and then last summer got married. And
Cute
so,
life.
yeah, to my
Yeah.
now wife, not to Connor. Thanks for clearing that
Clarify.
up. But yeah, it's really just like I think Connor and I, like, it's fair to say that we entered Miller at very different stages in our walk with faith. And I even remember one of the spring seasons working at camp, we were sanding down buildings and refinishing them, and I remember asking Connor, because I was really struggling with it. I was like, Connor, like, what does it really actually mean? Like what is I don't understand grace. Like, I just didn't get it. And I honestly, I don't fully remember your answer. Because even after that, like, it was still I was wrestling with it a lot, understanding like, okay, what does God's kindness actually mean? And still, like, where is my place in all of this? But through Miller, and then, you know, into us living together, like, God has been so kind to kind of show me that and reassure me of that, time and time again, and just be like, you belong to me, and I care for you. And so that's like, oh, that's just like my favorite thing in the whole world. Like, the creator of the universe cares for us and has created us, and that's such a blessing to know that. And I think like that's, you know, why I think I wanted to start this podcast, because it was like I want people to know that Jesus died for them, that we have grace, that God extends his grace to us, and you know, we all have the things that we kind of judge ourselves for or are hard on ourselves about, and God really takes that and shows us that there's nothing that he can't overcome. And so I guess yeah, that's kind of
Yeah, well, and he's continuing to sanctify us too, right? And like, I think that's the piece that, like I see in my story and hearing your story as well. It's like, oh man, by no means like have we arrived, nor will we. until Christ returned, until he finishes, completes his good work in us. And so I think that's just the piece. And I feel like, as we even are here now and just talking about all of this stuff, it's like, oh man, like that good work is continuing to be done in us, the good work of his sanctification. And so he is continuing to make us more like Jesus. And that's, I don't know, just a cool thing to get to rest in. And also where I feel like it comes that it's just like, yeah, we're continuing to learn. We continue to learn from others. We just really never need to feel like we have to get to this point where we've arrived. And that's kind of freeing, honestly. Like to be like, I don't have it figured all, like I don't have it all figured out, and that's okay. Because we're just not there yet.
Oh, it's so true. And it, we hear that like in when we were in college, we heard that from our teachers, like, and I felt like when I was younger, I mean, I'm still young, but when I was younger and like starting Miller and stuff, and the teachers that are, they're professors, like they've walked with God a long time, and they're like, I don't even feel like I've scratched the surface. I would always get discouraged and be like, oh my goodness, so like I'm gonna have to work hard at this like for the rest of my life, and I'm still not gonna feel like I'm gotten anywhere. But that's just like that's not even the point. Like, yes, we have to put in effort, and it is hard work some days, but there's also so much joy that comes from knowing God and knowing Jesus. And I think like when I think about us doing this and think about like our time at school, like a quote that always comes to my mind is beggars showing other beggars where to find bread. And I really think like that's what our professors would say, and that's what they were doing. And I really that's what I want for us too. It's like we're not necessarily any more educated than the next person. People are just trying to do their best walking through life, and we want to be able to offer a space where people can ask questions or just kind of flesh things out in what does it actually mean to do life following Jesus?
Totally.
What does it mean to go to work every day and also love Jesus and represent him well, and all those kinds of things? Like, I have to fight for that a lot of days too, and yeah, so.
Yeah, well, and even just as you're telling your story, like, and again, I caught it, like, myself saying it too, that it's just like, man, there's so many people, like, who have helped us along the way. Like, there's so many people that God has placed in our lives that it's just like, man, like, really, like, they were the beggars showing us other beggars like where to find bread, where to find life, right, in God. And also just thinking about that and kind of cool, like I feel like one thing we've talked about is just having people actually here in this space as well, and bringing others who have walked with us, or I don't know, I feel like we're just kind of around a lot of people in our day to day who just have a lot of wisdom to offer and have like sweet testimonies of their own walk with the Lord and stuff and just the things that they've learned. And so I feel like I'm excited for that too, just to bring like different voices in on this as well. And yeah, just to get to process life with them and kind of see what that looks like. And so yeah, glad this was more than just a dream and stuck around for a couple more than a few months.
Yeah, me too.
Glad we made it.
And me too. So yeah, I think we'll kind of close it there. For anyone that does listen to this, like this really is for you to ask questions that, maybe you don't want to ask someone in person, or if there's like a topic, like end times that you're like, talk about that.
Then Luke will tackle that one in a episode.
Yeah,
So
or
no, I'm
something.
just kidding.
But yeah, we do want to like we want to talk about theology stuff, help other people learn and everything like that. So even just to be able to do this and have the like opportunity to, like, we feel super pumped and privileged to be able to do it. So if you listen to this, like interact with us, you know, give us some questions and not sure how regular we'll do it, but we definitely wanna do it more if there's interest in it. So
How can they send us questions, Luke?
oh, that is very good. Email us. So our podcast again is called Bibling and Babbling. So our email is biblingandbabbling@gmail.com. So if you look at, you know, it's written on our it'll be written there. You'll see Bibling and Babbling,
Yeah,
and
the
then
spelling's like a little trippy. I feel like I can't get my head around it, but
if there's a way that I can put it in the description
yes,
of our
man.
episode, I will try and do that.
Perfect.
But we're figuring it all out.
Yeah.
So yeah, email us. If you know us personally, come find us or text us or anything like that. We'd love to hear from any of you and all of you. And yeah, thanks so much if you are listening to this for spending the time listening to it. And we look forward to starting this journey and seeing what the Lord does with it. So
Let's go.
let's do it. See you guys later.